Parak Chas, Mishnah Chas. Onin Tovel ve'ochel es Pischol la'arev. An Onin can dip in the mikvah and eat his carbon Pesach in the evening. So we had mentioned in Mishnah Vav that a person loses a loved one, the day of the death, the one that's in mourning is called an Onin. And he's exempt from mitzvos. He doesn't daven, he doesn't learn, he doesn't, you know, make brachos. And on a Torah level, he's an Onin, and he can't either eat kachim, can't eat sacrifices, karbanos, and he can't eat a carbon Pesach. Whereas in the evening, though, his Onin status leaves, but the Rabbanan gave him a din of an Onin on a rabbinic level. So the rule is that by all other karbanos, he's got a rabbinic level of Onin, and he can't eat kachim. But by carbon Pesach, the Rabbanan said that he still could eat the carbon Pesach. And the reason is because all the kachim, there's a mitzvah to eat the carbon, but if you don't eat it, you don't eat it. But carbon Pesach is a special mitzvah that if you have to eat it, if you don't eat it, and you were, you know, eligible to eat it, then you're chayev kares, you're cut off from the Jewish people. It's much more severe. So by carbon Pesach, Rabbanan said, okay, you know what, he won't be an Onin on a rabbinic level, and of course he can eat the carbon Pesach, because we don't want him to be chayev kares. But of course, with all other carbonos, he would not eat it, and that's the rest. It says here, avalo b'kachim, meaning all other kachim, you don't eat it. Because it's a positive commandment to eat the kachim. So the Rabbanan said, no, you're an Onin, don't eat it. But a carbon Pesach, since if you don't eat the carbon Pesach, and you know you could have, you're chayev kares, so there the Rabbanan said, of course, you could go ahead and eat the carbon Pesach. And then you go to the mikvah. Why do you go to the mikvah? So you go to the mikvah. This is really more a takanas chachamim. It's more like a takana. It's not really, it's a rabbinic thing. You go to the mikvah just to get yourself in that, you know, to refresh yourself, because till now you were prohibited from eating the karban because you're an onin. Now you're permitted to eat the karban because, you know, you're not an onin anymore. So the chacham made a gezeira that you should go to the mikvah and, you know, and purify yourself. Okay. What about Hashomeya al Mesa, a person, so it's not the day that the person heard someone died, right? But he heard someone died in his family, so now he has to mourn from them. It doesn't have to be, it wasn't not necessarily that day, right? So what is that telling us? He's not really an Onin on a Torah level. Because Onin is only the day of death. What about another case? From Malaki Lotzamos, a person in those days, they used to bury a dead body, let's say a parent, they would bury the parent, but it would only be a temporary burial. Then they would come back and, you know, gather the bones and give it a permanent burial. I don't know exactly why they would do it, but that's what they would do. So these two cases, they're not really an Onin, because the body, the person was nifter, the loved one was nifter already, you know, could have been a whole bunch of days ago. So both these people, tovel v'ochel b'kachim, they could go to the mikvah, and they could eat kachim, right? Certainly a carbon Pesach in the evening, and even other karbanos, regular kachim, they could eat it in the evening. Because now you don't even have the rabbinic level of Onin, because it's not the day of death. It's only the day of death that during the day, a person's an Onin on a Torah level, and that evening is an Onin on a rabbinic level. But afterwards, there's no din of aninus. So over here in these cases, since what's happened, you know, the events that are happening happened days after the person died, so there's no din of Onin even on a rabbinic level that evening, and of course the person could dip in the mikvah and eat all regular kachim, not just a carbon Pesach, that evening, because this case is not as severe as the case where the person heard a loved one died that day. And then lastly, Ger Shinis Gayer Be'erev Pesach, if you have a convert who becomes a convert on Erev Pesach, he gets his bris milah, he dips in the mikvah for Geiris on the 20th day of Nisan, right? So Bishami Omrim Tovel V'Ochel Pischol La'arev, he could go to the mikvah a second time, meaning another time is like is on a rabbinic level, just to get him, you know, to cleanse himself to eat kachim. And he could eat his carbon Pesach that evening, there's no problem. He became a convert on Erev Pesach, and then you don't eat the carbon Pesach till the evening. So go to the mikvah a second time, meaning the first time was for his convert, for becoming a ger. Now he goes to the mikvah just to cleanse himself to eat the carbon Pesach, and he can eat it that evening, no problem. Ubeis Hill Omrim, HaPorish Min Arla KaPorish Min HaKever, a person who's removing an Arla, so say, for example, in our case, he's becoming a convert, he has to remove the foreskin, right? We give him the same din as if he touched a dead body. So what on earth does this mean? It's a bit off the charts, but let's explain what's going on over here. The machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hill are as follows. So Beis Hill say that if a person who was a guy who's getting his foreskin removed, who's doing a bris, becoming a convert, so you know he has his bris, you know he goes to the mikvah, and now he's a Jew, right? But they say like this, They gave him the same status as a person who became tummy from a dead person. A person who became tummy from a dead person, from touching a dead person, he has to wait 7 days. On the third day, he has to be spritzed by the ashes of the paraduma, and on the seventh day, then he goes to the mikveh, and then he's pure. Now, Beis Hillel will say that this ger has the same din, that he can't eat Mekorban Pesach until a week later. He's got to be spritzed on the third day, spritzed on the seventh day, and then go to the mikveh, and then he can eat the Korban Pesach. Why? He didn't touch a dead body. He just became a ger. The reason is, it's a bit far-fetched, but what they hold is that we're afraid that next year, when he's a Jew, he might touch a dead body Erev Pesach, and he may think to himself, hey, last year I ate the Korban Pesach that night, right away. Maybe I could do the same thing again this year. And he's not going to realize that he's got to wait a week because he's tummy from touching a dead person. See, even when he's becoming an initial convert, we say he's got to wait a week before he eats the Korban Pesach so that he doesn't come to this situation where if in another year he was touching a dead person and he'd have to eat the Korban Pesach, he would know not to eat it that evening. Whereas Beis Shammai say, you know, we're not concerned for that. If he becomes tummy down the road, we'll notify him what he has to do and that he can't eat the Korban Pesach right away. But for now, he's a full-fledged Jew, and we don't have these concerns, and therefore, somebody who gets a bris milah doesn't have to wait 7 days and get the whole spritzing process to become pure, but he can eat the Korban Pesach that evening. So that's the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Pretty wild. The Beis Hillel are going to hold that a regular convert, you know, can't eat kachim until a week after his bris, because he has to get spritzed on the third day and the seventh day, mamash, like touching a dead body, and then go to the mikvah. But what is interesting to note is that bring down over here is that if the person who's getting his milah, his arla removed, was a Jew, for example, if you have a Jew, right, whose brothers were died from a bris milah, so we don't give that Jew a bris because we say it's a sakana. His brothers died from the bris, we don't give him a bris. So what that means now is technically he can't eat a Korban Pesach. Because the pasuk says if you have an aral, if you didn't remove the foreskin, you can't eat it. So let's say this person found out that he's not going to die and they can remove the aral, they can remove the foreskin, right? Even though his brothers died from it, they found out that he was healthy and you could do the bris milah. So in that kind of case, even if he got his bris erev Pesach, then even Beis Hillel would agree he eats Korban Pesach in the evening, because there, once he's a Jew already, they're not concerned for this whole case of, you know, 7 days. And there Beis Hillel would agree to Beis Shammai that he could eat the Korban Pesach that evening. Okay, so that concludes Perek Ches. Moving right along to Perek Tes, Mishnah Aleph. Mishahaya Tame. So now we're going to discuss the Pesach Sheni that we've been discussing, until now. So let's say in the previous example, this convert, according to Beis Hillel, when does he eat his Korban Pesach? He doesn't eat it a week later, because a week later Pesach's over. He has to eat his Korban Pesach Sheni, which is the 14th day of Iyar, the following month. And we're going to discuss exactly what Pesach Sheni is in this parak. So here we go. Mishaya Tame. Let's say someone was Tame. He was defiled on the 14th day of Nisan, at the time of Shechting the Korban Pesach. Or he wasn't Tame, but he was just far away. He's far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and he couldn't come to bring his Korban. Below as a Rishon, he didn't bring his Korban Pesach on the first Pesach, meaning on the 14th day of Nisan. Yas as a sheni. The pasuk in the Torah says that we give him a special window that the next month, on the 14th day of Iyar, exactly a month later, he could bring just the Korban Pesach. That's not a whole yomtiv, but we let him bring a Korban Pesach then and fulfill his mitzvah, because since he couldn't bring it the first time around because he was tamei or he was far away, so we give him this special, you know, window that he could bring it in the following month and fulfill his mitzvah of Korban Pesach. We don't find this by any yomtiv, but it's like a bonus yomtiv, right? There's a makeup yomtiv. But the reason why you have it by Pesach is, the short of it is, they were, you know, Klai Yisrael were tame, they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach, and they complained, hey, what's going to be? We're not going to be able to bring the Korban. So they got a special, you know, Hashem gave Moshe this special, you know, mitzvah that, you know, because Klai Yisrael wanted to bring the Korban so badly, Hashem said, wow, this is unbelievable. Let me give you a second opportunity. And that second opportunity is Pesach Sheni. So that's the idea. So in these cases, someone who was tamei or someone who was far away and couldn't bring the Korban Pesach in the first Pesach brings it in the following month, on the 14th day of Iyar. But Shagag, if he just by mistake didn't bring his Korban Pesach the first time, just, you know, just from an accident, excuse me, Onanas, or he had an Ones, he had, you know, an unavoidable mishap and he just couldn't make it. Veloas, as originally, he didn't bring the Korban Pesach the first time around. Yas, as a Sheni, he should also bring it on the Pesach Sheni. So right away the Mishnah says, "Imkain, if so, like if we know someone was a shogeg in an accident, or an ones, an unavoidable mishap. You know, it could bring the carbon Pesach on Pesach Sheni. So why are we even discussing a person who is tamei or someone who is far away? That's obvious. So the Mishnah says like this: She'elu p'tun mehikareis, ve'elu chayavin bikareis. So the first group of people, the guy who was tamei or the guy who was far away. So let's just say, for example, they didn't even bring their second Pesach Sheni. So because they were exempt from the first carbon Pesach, because of their state, they were tamei or they were far away, so they physically couldn't bring the carbon, right? So we said earlier that if a person has to bring a carbon Pesach, he's chayv kareis. It's very serious. But since now these people got an exempt, they were pushed, they were, got exempt from being chayv kareis because of their situation, so now they have to bring it around two. But around two, if they don't bring it then, so they're exempt from kareis then also. Why? Because there was no chiyuv of kareis on the second Pesach. It's only on the first Pesach if you don't bring your if you don't bring your carbon. So those two guys, that the first time they didn't bring the carbon Pesach, they got exempt from kareis. So the second time they'd also be exempt from kareis. But the elu, the other people, the shogig and the ones, they're chayiv kareis if they don't bring a carbon Pesach and Pesach Sheni, since they were really chayiv, they should have been bringing in the first one, right? But because they had a shogig or an ones, they were pushed off. So the chiyuv of kareis carries along with them. Because they really should have been doing, it wasn't a physical thing. It was, you know, they were an ones, they were a shogig. So therefore the chiyuv of kareis will carry along with them. And therefore if they don't bring their carbon Pesach the second time around, they will be chiyuv kareis. That's the difference. So that's why the Mishnah has to mention the four different cases. Someone who was tamei or was far away, who didn't bring the carbon Pesach the first time around. So the second time around, if for whatever reason they didn't bring it, they're not chayav kareis. But these two guys, they really should have brought it the first time around. And if they didn't bring it, the shogig and the ones, then in the round two, they would be chayav kareis. That's why we mentioned it. And the Mishnah brings down also this, the same would hold true if, let's just say, you have a guy who, on purpose, he didn't bring his carbon Pesach the first time around. So now he's got to bring it the second time around. So if the second time around, he didn't bring it because of a shogig, because of an accident, he's also chayav kareis. Why? Because the first time he didn't bring it was why? Because it was amazing. It was on purpose. So shame on him. He should have been bringing the carbon. Now the second time around, it will carry along with him. And even the second time around, he didn't bring his carbon because of an accident. He'd also be chayav kareis. So it's very interesting to see how they differentiate where the chiyuv of kareis would apply and where it wouldn't. And that's why the Mishnah brings in all these different cases.